Our scripture this morning, we're going to find in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and John 6, 1 through 15, and also in the letters to the Ephesians from Paul, in Ephesians 3, verses 2 through 13. So if you want to open your Bibles to John 6, 1 through 15, I found on page 1655. Please read with me. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Well, then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. So when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Well, Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And another of his disciples, Andrew of Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He said, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Well, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And there was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And then Jesus took the bread and loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw this miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, he withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Our second reading in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 13, on page 1820 in your pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 2. "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation. And as I have already written briefly, in reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which has been made known to men in other generations as it has been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and the prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. And although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for the ages past has been kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And according to his eternal purpose, which he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through him, and in him we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory." So this is the word of God for the people of God. In my studies this week for the message, I read one commentator who started this way when he was looking at the Ephesians gospel, the Ephesian letter. He said in Ephesians 2 through 13, he says, "appears to be rather lengthy parenthesis vindicating Paul's apostleship to the Gentiles. For Paul has been discussing the unity of the Jews and the Gentiles in Christ and how the Gentiles are legitimate heirs to God's salvation. Then he writes, but for some reason he finds it necessary to define more precisely God's secret and the human agent through whom it was revealed. So the commentary writer's definition of the mystery of Christ is God's secret. And then he refers to Paul as a secret's agent. When that brought all mine, I got to thinking about that old show, Mission Impossible. Remember? They light the match and the flame comes up and here comes Mission Impossible. Somebody was a secret agent at the time. I even thought about the movie series. I think Tom Cruise was a star in all of them. Mission Impossible. So I got thinking about that. And I'm thinking, God's mission, God's secrets, they've become our mission. And is it impossible? Hence the phrase, mission impossible. But then I got looking at all of this, and I'm trying to think about stories, and of course I like to tell stories whenever I'm spreading his word. It's like we need to tell stories just to illustrate to one another things. And I got to thinking about the pastor who went visiting homes, and he went to this one family, a younger family in the congregation, and he knocks on the door, and a little five-year-old boy comes to the door and says, can I help you? And the pastor, he looks at this little boy, says, yeah, is this your mom or dad home? He said, well, they're busy right now, but I can get them if you want. He says, well, no, I'll wait for them to come to the door. So he's standing there, and the little boy's looking at him, and pastor looks back. He says, thinking, maybe I can make some conversation with this little guy. He says, so what do you want to be when he grows up, when you grow up? Little boy looks at him, he thinks a little bit, and he says, I want to be possible. Pastor, he's just a little confused, he's a little adverse to investigation. And he says, looks at the boy, he says, what do you mean you want to be possible? He says, well, my mom, she constantly tells me I'm impossible. Too many of us seem impossible to our parents. Can you imagine when God looks down on us? Sometimes he's got to be looking and says, he's definitely impossible. What am I going to do with him? So we all need to learn these lessons about becoming possible. Because we know with Christ and with God, nothing is impossible. There is no mission impossible. But we have to learn these lessons. So in learning those lessons, I was led to this story this week. There's account of this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And the more I thought about it, I really got focused on the question of when Jesus looked at Philip and he asked him in a question. He says, so we're here, we got all these people, we got these 5,000 people to feed. And he looks at Philip and he says, Philip, now, how are we going to feed these guys? Where are we going to get the food to buy? How are we going to get the food? Kind of an impossible question, isn't it? And it's got to be important because all the four Gospels, they tell the same story. They record this same miracle. So why do we look at this? Why are we going to look at this question so hard today? Because I think it's the same question that God asks all of us. So do we think every mission, everything that he gives us is a mission impossible or a mission possible? I read a story about a pastor fresh out of seminary. He was going to speak. All nervous and jitters and everything was getting the better of him. He gets up there and he was going to talk about this, actually the same topic that we're going to talk about today, about the feeding of the 5,000. So he gets up and he looks out at the congregation and he says, today's sermon is going to be how five men feeded 5,000 people with 5,000 loaves and 20 fish. Well, somebody jumps up and says, I think you're confused, Pastor. says, anybody can do that. And the pastor, he got all frustrated, nervous, and he finally goes, and he couldn't even deliver a sermon. But the next week, he comes back, and he decides he's going to give the same sermon. So he starts out, and he says, so this week, I want to talk to you about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Where Jesus fed them with five barley loaves and two small fish. And he kind of looks down at the guy who piped up last week and he says, what do you think about that? He says, well, heck, anybody could do that. When he jumps up, he kind of looks at the guy and says, what do you mean anybody could do that? He says, all they got to do is use the stuff you left over from last week. It begged me to look closer at this. So I want us to paint a picture in our head today of what's really going on here. So every miracle that Jesus performed actually was a mission impossible. When I thought about that, I thought, we got to look at the disciples' aspect of it. So what happened here? So Jesus is coming from the Sea of Galilee, and this great big crowd followed him. He had just got done doing miracles, and they're all following him. And there's about 20,000 of them. You say, how'd you come by that number? Well, think about it. So 5,000 men. Matthew tells us in the Spanish gospel that women and children were with them also. Well, most of the scholars say there had to be a minimum of 20,000 people are following Jesus. Thinking, how could that many people be following along the road at that time? Well, verse 4 tells us in John's gospel that it was near the Passover festival. So they're all on the road. Think about this. So they're all on the road. They're headed for Jerusalem. And Jesus performs all these miracles. Now, they want to follow him. They want to make sure they get to see Jesus some more. What's going on? So they follow him, and they come up on a mountainside, and Jesus sees them all. Thinking, what are we going to do with all these people? And he looks at Philip, and he kind of asks him a rhetorical question. He looks at Philip, and he says, where should we buy bread for these to eat? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you were Philip, what are you going to feel like now? Maybe in our days we get out a calculator and he starts calculating out how much this would cost. And he says, 8 months' wages. Well, at that time, some of the gospel texts reach 200 denarii. At that time, a denarii was a day's wage for a vineyard worker. So 8 months worth, that's 200 days of wages. If you actually were to calculate that out, it's about 20 grand it's going to cost to feed these people. And he's thinking, we ain't got 20 grand. Then he's got another problem. He says, there's no place to buy that much food. And if there was a place to buy that much food, we don't have the money. There's no place to buy it. We ain't got time to run down to buy it. And if we went and bought it, you know how much food that would be? It would be about 15 tons worth of food, and everybody would only get a bite. He had to be thinking, impossible. This ain't happening. Well, then Andrew, he's thinking a little harder. He's thinking, oh, wait a minute. All I got to do is go look for it, right? I'm going to go look. So he's searching around. Pretty soon he comes back with this small boy who brought a lunch. And the boy's there, and he's willing. He says, sure, you can use my lunch. Well, he opens the lunch up, and here's five barley loaves and two small fish. Andrew had to be thinking to himself, boy, I really hate to take this to the Lord, but this is what we got. So he takes it, and he looks at Jesus. He says, but what are we going to do with this? I mean, this is not going to go far amongst all of these people. See, there was a problem that day. We had hungry people who hadn't brought a lunch, probably. Except there is one little boy. They had another problem that besides that was bigger than the lack of food was the lack of faith. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, trying to teach those in the crowd how to have faith, how to become God's secrets agents. The more I thought about how do we become God's secret agents, we have to know a few things that happened during this miracle, during this teaching moment that Jesus was teaching us and the disciples. He was teaching us, first of all, that we needed to have faith. If it was a test, like it tells us in the scriptures, Philip, he failed miserably. And so did Andrew. Because they doubted what Jesus could do, because they didn't have faith. They weren't yet trained to be God's secrets agents. They kept thinking mission impossible, when they should have been thinking all missions are possible with Christ. So as I further looked at that, I started looking at the little boys. I'm thinking, okay, so here's this little boy. He's got this meager lunch. And you say, wait a minute, that wasn't really a meager lunch. I mean, he had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But you know what a barley loaf was? So barley was used to bake bread for the poor people. So if they had 5 barley loaves, chances are they're about the size of a wafer. They're flat and hard and not very big. And the 2 fish he had probably looked more like sardines. I mean, they weren't great big salmon or sea bass or anything like that. They were probably 2 little sardines. But yet, you know what was really significant about this little boy? He had faith enough to know that if he gave it to God, God could use them. You see, anytime, anything we transfer to God, he transforms. So God could transfer these loaves and these 2 little fish into enough and beyond enough to feed 20,000 people. But that wasn't the best thing of all. The best lesson of all to learn was that if he had faith, all he had to do was give of himself. That was the real value, was giving of himself. Because God takes what we think of invaluable sometimes, of our lack of value, God makes it valuable because he uses it. Because he takes and he transfers what we transfer to him, he transforms and he uses throughout the world so that his mystery can be made known. So God's secrets can be made known. But he needs people. He needs agents. He needs God's secrets agents to make it known throughout the world. The people learned all this too. If you read through the rest of this parable, through the rest of this miracle, it tells us that all were fed, that all were satisfied. They'd had all they wanted before they left. And I got thinking about this. So they got all that they wanted, all that they need. So God not only is sufficient for all of our lives, he can also be the satisfaction for all of our lives. We only need to become God's secrets agents. And we do this by having faith in him. Knowing that and doing anything, and we transfer all things to him, and he transforms them no matter what it is, no matter how big or small in our lives. God, he used them for his glory. Have faith. Share with someone. Because the minute you share with someone how God has worked into your life, you've become part of Mission Impossible. through sharing God's secrets, and you become one of his secrets agents. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for how you bless us this day. I pray that all those gathered here today will have faith, that will understand that whatever they transfer to you, you will transform. And you will make it plenty. And that they have the opportunity to have all that they want of you, then they all need to become your secrets agents. Father, bless us this day. Guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.